First of Kings 16. The word of Yahweh came to Jehu against Baasha, this wicked king of Israel. Because I exalted you out of the dust and made you prince over my people Israel, and you've walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, I will utterly sweep away Baasha and his house. I'll make your house, that is your family, like the family of Jeroboam son of Nebat. The dogs will eat Baasha's descendants who die in the city, and he who dies of his in the field, the birds of the sky will eat them. The rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, reigned in his place. Moreover, by the prophet Jehu came the word of Yahweh against Baasha and against his family, both because of all the evil that he did in the sight of Yahweh, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he struck him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, son of Baasha, began to reign over Israel in Tirzah for 2 years. His servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him. Now he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, and Zimri went in and struck him and killed him, and reigned in his place. It happened when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he struck all the house of Baasha. He didn't leave him a single male, nor of his relatives or friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha, according to the word of Yahweh which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all the sins of Baasha, the sins of Eli his son, which they sinned, and with which they made Israel to sin. So it's all a pretty sad history, isn't it, of an endless desire to be king and killing the last king and all his family and friends and so on. And this is what happens when you don't go God's way. The kings of Israel, none of them were righteous. They were all wicked. They all served the golden calves that Jeroboam had made. They all were idolaters, and they tended to reign for much shorter periods than the kings of Judah, who were the descendants of David. And some of them were wicked, but some of them are counted as righteous, although they all had their weaknesses. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and what he did are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, and the people who were encamped heard say, Zimri has conspired and has struck the king. So all Israel made Omri, captain of the army, king over Israel that day. Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the castle of the king's house and burnt the king's house over himself with fire and died, for his sins which he sinned in doing that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. So he only reigned 7 days. But whether it's 7 days or 7 years, God still takes note of the behavior of the person in that time. And it just shows the importance of human behavior, even if you've only got a 7-year period in which to be examined. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half the people followed Tibni to make him king, and the other half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed against the people who followed Tibni. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri began to reign over Israel for 12 years, and he reigned 6 years in Tirzah. He bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria, after the name of Shemer, the owner of the hill. Omri did evil in the sight of Yahweh and dealt wickedly above all who were before him, for he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and his sins with which he made Israel to sin, to provoke Yahweh, God of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Well, it keeps saying that Jeroboam made Israel to sin. He made the golden calves and they all carried on worshipping them. It just shows that you have huge influence upon people even after you're dead. And to make others sin is clearly very serious in God's eyes. We read this little phrase, Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. We read it so many times. So I'm not saying that sin itself is sort of okay if it just affects you. No, of course sin is sin, but I'm saying that making others to sin is seen by God as particularly awful. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab to reign over Israel, and he reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh above all that were before him. And as if it had been a small thing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Well, he married an unbeliever, Jezebel, who was really a wicked woman, and who was an unashamed worshipper of Baal. So his marriage is singled out. Out of all the wicked things he did, that is singled out as a particularly wicked thing. So you see how God does take very seriously who we marry. If you really in your heart and your soul, you love God and you love Jesus, you will not want to share your life with someone who doesn't, let alone someone who has got a strong religious conviction that is against the things of the one true God. And that's who Jezebel was. And God judged Ahab in this sort of divine write-up about him pretty toughly because of that. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab did more to provoke Yahweh, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him.